Good morning, His Tabernacle. Are you ready to praise and worship God? Oh, yes. We all look like we're ready. Can we stand up? I am so excited to enter into His presence. That's where everything changes. That's where we can walk in one way, and in His presence, we can leave the house of God a completely new way. Amen? Amen. Why don't you guys take like a couple seconds and just tell the person to the left of you what you're expecting God to do today. We should all have an expectation of what God is going to do today. Amen? Dean, I'm expecting God to move in this place like He's never moved before. What are you expecting? Amen. You guys ready? Okay. Come on, let me see you put your hands together.
The best life now. I've got the best life now.
Who feels abundant life in this place? Hallelujah. Come on, how many of you have a desire to see Jesus lifted up high above our circumstance, high above the horrible things that are happening in the world? How many of you just want to see the love of Jesus lifted up in the society today? Amen. Come on, this song is really simple. It's new, but it's exactly what he wants to hear this morning. So just sing it out.
You've got
high and lifted up. We want to see you. We Come on, if you want to see Jesus in this place, if you want to see him reigning, why don't you just get your hands up and start praising him? Hallelujah. There's no one else like you, God. We want to see you. We want to see you move. We want to see you bring people to salvation. We want to see what you can do in this place. Thank you, Lord. You deserve the glory. As we bless your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great.
no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You do miracles so great.
Constant pulling. In the name of Jesus, I command right now that portion of the body to be healed and the cause and the root of it. I command you to be restored in Jesus' name, that there will be no more pain, no more problem in that portion of the body. Another person's having a problem on your left about 4 inches above your ankle, on the left outside of your leg. God is healing you. There's another person, if I grabbed, came up behind you and pinched you right at the top, right here. That's painful. God's healing you right now in the name of Jesus. You've been struggling with it for years. There's another, I think there's actually more than one. You've been bombarded from all directions. It's almost like all hell has opened up against your life in 1 week. And I want you to know that God is moving. Here it goes. Go. In the name of Jesus. I break that spiritual attack in Jesus' name. And I command right now the heaven and the blessing of God to overtake you. I command the blessings of God not just to overtake you, but that you will feel the tangible presence of God in such a way that you have never experienced before, in the name of Jesus. God, we know that you care about every need that we have. Lord, there's people in this room, they have needs. They've never even spoke to anybody else. Lord, they've had pains they've never even said out loud. God, you care about every one of them. Jesus, God is healing emotional scars right now in some of you that have gone back decades. You've struggled with them. It's almost like they appear every year and you struggle through them. But God is going to make this year, as you call on his name right now, just say, Jesus, I receive that. I receive that healing in my emotional man. I receive that healing in my emotional state in Jesus' name. God's going to heal that. And yes, you'll never forget it, but it doesn't have to hurt anymore. I just declare that in the name of Jesus. I declare that in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you, and we thank you that you care about every scenario we're going through. Thank you, Jesus. God, I hope you don't mind. We just wait. Someone's having headaches. It's on the top of your right temple, not in the middle of it, but at the top of the right temple. In Jesus' name, there it goes. I saw it. Just left. In Jesus' name. We thank you. The amazing part, the more you listen, the more he'll speak to you. Some of you have been so busy this week and so busy even during worship, you've got your mind in 20 locations, and God is saying, set your eyes and your mind on me and I'll speak to you. I'll encourage you. I'll strengthen you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing. We want to pray for Pastor Rhonda. She's getting ready to preach right about now. She's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we just pray, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the anointing that's on Pastor Rhonda in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that as she stands up to preach your gospel, we release an anointing she has never experienced before in Jesus' name. Father, even as this year we already went through our next level, now, God, Lord, we're going through a new place. I thank you that a fresh anointing of the Spirit. Lord, I ask in your name that the supernatural be so powerful through this message that people will be healed even while they're hearing the word being preached. God, I thank you that you're working through her. Use her, Jesus, as she's there. In the name of Jesus, amen. Somebody else has a bone spur on your right heel near the back. God is healing that. You're going to find the pain be gone. And by tomorrow morning, you'll find that bone spur will already be gone off of your foot, and you'll never have a problem with it again in Jesus' name. I just love God. And what we're going to be talking about today in the service is talking about the supernatural church. And this is part of the supernatural. For some of you don't know what this is. It's called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the gifts of the Spirit are for the edification of the body of Christ, the strengthening, and also for you to know personally that God knows you. You know, who cares about a bone spur? You can get those taken out pretty easy. Maybe. I don't know. I've never had it done. But God cares. And that might be you. And you're saying, man, it just was painful walking to church this morning. And God heals you. You know what? You can't deny how much Jesus loves you. Amen? Because he cares about that small need in your life. Just today, I just want you to know how much I love you, how much Jesus loves you, and the phenomenal plans that God has for your life. Amen? And I got one other thing to thank God for. This gentleman has such an amazing beard. Come on over here, young man. Doesn't he have an amazing beard? Jesus. I know. I want to grow mine longer, but Pastor Rhonda won't let me. Can you do something for me? Can you go find people you don't know? Listen now. You don't know. Go to the people you don't know first and shake their hand and say, I love you. Now, don't be weird.
A pretty sweet mug. And I actually really want one. So if there's any new people in the house, go ahead and raise your hand, and we will walk it right over to you, okay? And then right after church, we want to meet you. We want to connect with you. So if you could just walk down this hall right over here, there'll be a sign that says guest reception. We'll have coffee with you. There's awesome snacks. And we just want to get to know you, okay? So welcome. We are so happy that you are here, okay? Next, tonight at 6 p.m., we have His Line Crossers Motorcycle Ministry Super Bowl Chili Cook-Off. That is going to be awesome. Who likes chili? I love chili. And if any of you are like me, I would actually just go for the chili and not football. Does anybody just like the food? Just going for the food? I'm with you. So that's at 6 p.m. If you'd like to put your chili in the cook-off, then you can go to the info center right out front and sign up. And if you'd like to just attend and have some fun tonight and fellowship, then you can buy a ticket, okay? Then the next one, we have annual business meeting. Get your calendars out. This is going to be Sunday, February 16th at 7:45 a.m. So if you'd like to RSVP for that, just so we know ahead of time to get you some breakfast, you can, again, go out in the front at the info center.
You want to be at this annual business meeting. There are people that have asked some questions about certain things. We're actually going to be flying in our accountant from from Colorado. And so we want to encourage you to be at the annual business meeting. Our annual business meeting usually runs a total of 12 people. And we go over all the finances of the church, where they were spent this year. So we'd love to have you. This is a special time, and we're bringing in our accountant that we've had for 11 years from Colorado, and you're going to want to be at this one if you could be. Make sure that you register. How do they register?
You can go over to the info center right out front. So it's the middle one. You go right out there. All right, and now you can turn your attention to the video announcements.
Hey, are you wondering why you're here? Or maybe you're new. Can I tell you the best place for you to start is Growth Track. Every single Sunday morning at 9:30, there's snacks, there's childcare, there's amazing teaching about this church and about yourself that we'd love to have you a part. And what's great about it is it leads into the next thing for you, which could be next steps, including Rock Solid Faith and step 2 and 3, or even into groups. But we'd love to see you as a part of this church, not just sitting, but being a part of the church, which changes everything. Make sure you sign up today for Growth Track next week at 9:30 a.m.
Like took me off guard. That was blinding. Good morning. How's everybody doing? See, I don't get it. Second service is so much quieter. Good morning. How's everybody doing? There you go. You're alive and awake and good. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 10. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. I'd say this is not like a study translation, but I really like how it says this scripture. Ready? Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He'll make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him. Because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. And I love this scripture because ultimately what it's saying is that when we give, God multiplies back to us. Every time we sow, God multiplies more and more and more back to us. And I think this is great. And man, we know that God loves a cheerful or a joyful giver, right? Amen? Amen?
Amen.
We also know that when we give, we receive. Amen?
Amen?
We know that when we give, we're keeping him as the provider in our heart. Amen?
Amen?
We know that when we give, it provides for others who are in need. Amen?
Amen?
We know that when we give, we're walking in obedience to God. Amen?
Amen?
That amen got quieter.
Amen?
And I really love this because when we give, we're taking a step of faith. We know that it's impossible to please God without faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And I want to show God that I trust him. I trust him more than my need. I trust him more than anything else. I trust God with my seed, with my giving, with my offering. And today, I just want to be a person that's marked as honoring and trusting God. I want to be a person that has more than enough because God has my enough. Amen? So today, I would challenge you to be a joyful giver. And there's an envelope on your seat. You can go ahead and fill that out. Whatever it was, here we teach the Bible, and that's a tithe or 10% of our giving. And we actually bring it to the Lord. I don't think it's weird. I think it's more weird that a bucket gets passed in front of us and we got to shake it down, like scared that some people might dip their hand in it. And some people are weird about it. I want to bring my gift to the Lord. And that's what we do here. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet as we prepared our offering, as we prepared to give to the Lord. And today, we're going to give what we do is our supernatural blessing and proclamation. And we're going to do this today, and Sam Moss is going to actually share it today. We don't need a guitar for this. Come on, Sam. You're going to do so good at it. He's so excited. Amen.
If I obey,
then
I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up. Because I am a child of God. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
He should do that more often, don't you think? He's good with a microphone. Go ahead and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord today. If you're online, this is not the end of the service, but you can actually give right now at histabernacle.com/give, or there'll be a number on the screen for text to give. We love you. Hang on for just a minute as we get on with the rest of the service.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Amen. I love God. He's been so good to us. I'm excited. My wife is out. Oh, that's right. I want to show one more time. Come on up here, baby girl. I want to show one more time for the chili cook-off. Now, listen, I'm a line crosser, too. We help start this ministry. It's for the motorcycle ministry. And I'd encourage you to come on out tonight. You're going to have a blast, and you're going to be able to meet the bikers, but also you're going to eat some really, really good chili.
The president, the vice president, and Mr. Sean are all entered to make chili, so whoa, it's going to be great.
You get to vote on it, all right? So tonight at what time?
5:30.
How much does this cost?
It is
$3 a person. My goodness, you can't beat that. I just bought a pizza and paid more than that. Glory to Jesus. So make sure you make your way out tonight. We love the Line Crosser Ministry. They are a tremendous ministry from the church that get into the community, into a group of people that many times people do not reach. You know, there's another people group that very few people reach, and we have a new ministry starting with Lori, and that is folks that are physically challenged in wheelchairs. And it's usually less than 1% of all people that are in chairs get any ministry at all in the United States of America, less than 1%. And so we thank God. Lori's going to be starting that off here. We're going to be able to minister to people, encourage people, strengthen people, and build people. What a phenomenal testimony. Last week, I don't know if you realize it, but last week we saw on Sunday during first and second service, 20 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? I believe three people already this morning gave their hearts to Jesus in first service. We also, Zach Ramsey, who's our youth pastor down in Mansfield, had his very first salvation, and the kid got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, right down there, Mansfield. And 7 young people gave their hearts to Jesus right here on Thursday night at Uproar Youth Ministry. Isn't that exciting? Taking back our region, one child at a time. I also, Pastor Aaron, we want to pray for him. He right now is in Idaho, Boise, Idaho, with my friend who has a church of about 3,500, and he's participating with their youth ministry to bring back some fresh ideas, amen? But he let me know this week on Thursday that our Wednesday night ministry to the children that we bus in from Elmira is too crowded, so we're going to have to rent another bus. Isn't that awesome? We're going to rent another bus on Wednesday nights. We're going to have 3 buses running because there were so many kids. There were too many kids on the buses. I like that. Amen. Don't you like that? I like the fact that we're taking back what the enemy has stolen. He can't have our children. Can I hear an amen? Come on. Can I hear an amen? Devil can't have our children. He can't have our teenagers. He can't have our college students. Can I have an amen? He can't have our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Amen, grandmas and grandpas. Amen. Can't have them. We are God's people, and we're taking this region back for Jesus. I'm excited because today we're getting ready, and I prepared you last week that we're going to receive an offering. This is not for our guests. This is for those that call this their home. We're receiving a special offering. We have been preparing you. I think they'll show it up on the screen. There it is in back of me. We're going to be doing a building project where we're closing in where the pillars are. And that way, how many of you don't mind saving money? Amen. The church spends $2,500 a month on heating bills. And this is going to help us save finances because what it's going to do is stop the wind from coming down into the building. So we're going to have people come in through the sides. And this way, the foyer will remain warmer and the heat won't be escaping. So we prepared you last week, and I want to remind you, if you didn't yet or have not prepared that, you can do it next week as well. But the total project is about $45,000. That includes all the windows. We already have, I think, between $15,000 and $18,000. I'm not sure exactly, but in that vicinity. And we're just believing God. I know this, that in this house there's more than enough to pay for that 3 times over just in one Sunday morning service besides tithe and offering. So I know if we're all just led by the Holy Spirit, it'll all be taken care of. Amen? No one has to tell you how much, what to give. This is all about you listening to the Holy Spirit and responding to Him. Now, some of you said, well, I won't have any extra money until taxes return. We told you could put it on your envelope, your giving envelope, that you're going to pledge that, and when your taxes come in, this way it allows us to know when to start the project and when not to. So how many of you are ready to give for that?
Boy, I hope you're used to this, because I saw this year us burning the church mortgage, amen? And I just told the devil very clearly, listen now, we're going to start getting ready to build the new building. So what we're doing is we're meeting this Wednesday is going to be the first meeting for the building program of the new building that's going to sit out front. I want to remind you that this is nothing more than the children's wing, amen? This is where the kids are going to meet. I'm believing God to fill this with teenagers and children every single week, every week. That there's going to be not enough room. We're going to have to go to two services on a Sunday just for the kids. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So what we're going to do to receive the offering, we're going to have the baskets are going to be passed through, because I don't want to take a ton of time. I want to get preaching this message. It's a very important word for you. If you're watching by live stream, you can also jump off. You can make sure you write in the giving area that you want to give this towards the building project, and it will go right there. 1,000 is THOUSAND. I know you didn't spend money to come to church this morning, but you can spend some money sitting at home. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So they're just going to start passing that. And as they do, we're going to start preaching. All right? I love this theme. Shout it out loud. Unstoppable. The supernatural church. Tell somebody, I'm unstoppable. That's right, man. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? You are not weak. You are strong. God is all powerful. How many of you are born again in the room? If you're born again in the room, the Bible says that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You know what that means? That the God of creation, the God who said, let there be light and there was, dwells inside of you. How can you fail with God dwelling inside of you? You see, you are unstoppable, the supernatural church. What's amazing about that is there's two key words there. Ready? Unstoppable. That's right. Unstoppable. Shout, I'm unstoppable. Unstoppable. Tell somebody next to you, I'm unstoppable. That means, man, you can't be stopped. And number two, you are supernatural. This is where the body of Christ struggles right now with understanding the supernatural principles of God. I want you to realize that the moment you became born again, as I said, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. The Bible says that you have been made in the image of God. Now, in the image of God, God said in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. As a spiritual person, you need to recognize that you are a spirit. Shout, I'm a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Whether you recognize it or not, you are supernatural. Every single person on this planet, every human being created in the image of God is eternal. That means you're either going to be eternally with Jesus Christ because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to be eternally damned, which means you're going to go to not just hell. Hell is the holding tank. According to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, hell will give up its dead, and the people will be judged at the white throne judgment, and then will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the place that was created for the devil and his angels. And it is complete separation from God, never again being in the presence of God, never again have an opportunity to be saved, and the person that is in there will be tormented for all of eternity. I desperately believe that the majority of the body of Christ has lost the reality of the supernatural. They've lost the reality that we are not natural beings. They've lost the reality that we are going to live beyond our physical body, which is the natural world. And we've got to grasp a hold of this, or else we're going to lose our purpose and our design. Our purpose is that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are literally representing another country on this planet. When you became born again, you became a citizen of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As a kingdom person, there's a necessity to grasp and really understand that you are eternal. And every decision that we make, especially that of salvation, literally puts us on the precipice of eternally being saved with Christ or eternally being damned, separated from Christ. Nobody else has that privilege in your life to make that choice but you. Nobody else can we blame but ourselves, because it is our personal decision whether I want to serve God or reject God.
In that, we've got to know we're supernatural. You are a supernatural creature that God has placed here in his image to represent him on this planet. Immediately, these two words contain two components. Number one, if you are unstoppable, shout I'm unstoppable. It also means you can be stoppable. If you are supernatural, shout I'm supernatural. It means you can live more in the natural than the supernatural. And this is the issue with the body of Christ today. We have become a church and at large in America, and I can speak for America only, a church in America that has left the supernatural power of God and are living more by the natural principles of mankind. And the problem with that is there's an abandonment. There is a jumping ship of God and his design for his church. You see, man did not create the church. God created the church. And God created his church to do as he desires, not as we desire. When we grasp this, when we live this, then we learn that we are here. Yes, we are on here and to occupy till he comes. But the truth is that we are here as sojourners. We are here with purpose and destiny. And we must grab this, live this, or else we will not be unstoppable. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, but it doesn't say the gates of hell shall not prevail against churches. And there are many churches that I have known that have started correctly. In fact, I'm reading, probably for the fifth or sixth time, reading a book called The Autopsy of a Dying Church. They've taken 14 churches that closed their doors. And one of the main components or one of the main reasons they closed their doors was that the people lost the vision of why they were called the church. They also stopped praying. They would do their nice little prayerettes, but they stopped seeking God, interceding. They stopped realizing and recognizing why they were actually there. There must be a resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. There must be a resurrection. There must be a rising of the body of Christ, especially in these last days. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. It is not a fairy tale or fictitious Christ Jesus. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. That can happen before this service is over. We have got to be compelled to live that unstoppable supernatural church because God does not have a plan B. You and I are the only plan that God has to seek and to save them which are lost. And when the church has lost their meaning, when the church has lost their design, then what happens is we become natural instead of supernatural. We become an organization rather than an organism. We stop being supernatural in demonstration, and we start being a group of people that kind of gather together to hang out and hear something nice. But I'm here to tell you that Christ has given us a mandate. He's called this church. He's called the churches that he has set in order. Why? Because Jesus is the head of the church. To start rising in these end times and to start making a difference in our neighborhoods, start making a difference in our families, start making a difference in our communities, to not just have words, but to have a demonstration. That's our verse for the year. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says this, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. Everybody shout demonstration. When you demonstrate something, it means somebody can see it. With demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of men, but upon the power of God. You don't want to miss next week's sermon. Next week's message is going to be the difference between the supernatural church and the natural church. When you understand the difference, then tolerance changes. And you and I have got to be intolerant to anything that is going to subtract what God's plan and purpose is for his kingdom. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So you don't want to miss next week. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says this. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things which we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. We had our groups meeting just a few weeks ago,
and they did, what do they call that? Musical chairs. And it's been so long since I played that game. Musical chairs. And Mo played the game musical chairs. Mo, stand up and wave at everybody. There's Mo. Mo did really good. But Mo broke a chair. Mo broke a chair. I'm telling you, Mo broke a chair. So we're going to take that chair and we put it in the garbage, and they're going to end up burying it in the dirt, and the cushion is going to end up deteriorating, the foam will end up deteriorating, and the metal after years and years and years will end up deteriorating, and what was once there will be completely gone. It is temporary. So many of us live in this temporary world, and we live in this temporary world, and we put such validity in this temporary world that we actually allow it to cancel out the kingdom of God. We allow it to cancel out God's principles because we look more on what we can see than what we cannot see. How many of you love Jesus in the room? There's not many. I said, how many of you love Jesus in the room? Amen. If you love Jesus in the room, the Bible says that his angels encamp around those who love him. You know, there was this thing that everybody said, well, I have a guardian angel. And actually, there's an actual religion now where people are worshiping angels. And I want you to realize that's just demonic. Amen. They're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And what happens is, but angels are real. How many of you know angels are real? When you study angels, they're about 9 feet tall. Man, they're big. And the Bible says that you have four of them, at least four of them. His angels encamp around those who love him. So in this room, let's just say there's a few hundred folks in the house, and let's just say there's 300 in the house. At 300, 300 times four is how much? 1,200. There are 1,200 8 to 9 foot creatures standing in this room. It's getting kind of crowded in here, isn't it? Turn on the air conditioner. See, we can't see those angels, but they're more real and they're more credible than the chair you're sitting on that one day will deteriorate, be put in the ground, and completely forgotten. And you and I are that same, as we are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. As God is a spirit and he's worshiping those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Your spiritual man is the real you. Your physical man is not the real you. That is going to slowly disintegrate. How many of you are 40, let's say 40 years old in the room or older? How many of you realize you don't run the same as the 20-year-olds? Yeah. How many are 50 years old? Amen. How many of you realize you don't run as quick as you did when you were 30 years old? How many 60-year-old men in the house? Amen. How many of you realize you don't pee the same way you used to pee? Come on now. Jesus, help us all. You know, I sometimes want to punch those kids that, you know, you're in the public bathroom and they go in and it sounds like they just flooded the whole place. And, you know, you're saying, Jesus, help us. Increase, Lord, increase. How you doing? You doing all right? This young man literally stayed up all night long and he comes here and serves all morning long. Works. That's why it always makes me chuckle when someone, well, I'm tired. Well, I think he is too. He might fall asleep, but if he does, just throw something at him. We won't care. I'm concerned in the body of Christ as we're looking at the church at large and seeing how many people do not believe in the supernatural anymore. The fact is that when you start talking about the supernatural, even in church today, you're starting to find people that say, well, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in this healing stuff. I don't believe in, you know, the supernatural power of God. I don't believe in those manifestations. I don't believe in prophecy. I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. You know, those things passed away in the first century church. But the concern is simple, and that is when you extract the supernatural demonstration of the power of God in the church, then where is God in the church? With the supernatural not being understood by the majority of believers, it puts a real problem in your prayer life. Do you realize that as God is a spirit,
that everything he has for you is not originated in the natural realm, it's originated in the spiritual realm. So when the believers do not believe in the spiritual realm or the supernatural, or they don't understand it, then they get frustrated when they start to pray. Well, where's God? I don't understand. My answered prayers are not being answered. I tried, I believed, and nothing seemed to happen. But what's happened is, with the lack of understanding, my people perish for lack of knowledge, the scripture says. Because of the lack of understanding of how God's kingdom actually runs, people do not step into or grasp a hold of how to bring the supernatural to the natural world. Therefore, they get frustrated at God and they sit back and say, well, where is God? I prayed and nothing happened. Listen. Everything you want from God originates in the spirit realm before you see it in the natural realm. Even this world that we are participating on started first in the heart and the mind of God, in the spirit of God, and he said, let there be, and there was. Before it was already birthed in the spirit. When we don't understand that, then we always look to the natural realm to meet our needs instead of the spiritual realm. And this is where, as believers, we end up getting frustrated. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith, because we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So understanding the supernatural is imperative to be able to bring heaven to earth in your life. Not only that, it also helps us understand how and what God wants to do in our lives through people that we're in contact with. How God wants you to lay hands on the sick. Say amen. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. If you're a believer, shout amen. Amen. I said if you're a believer, shout amen. Amen. So these signs and wonders should follow you. What's a sign? A sign points somebody. What's a wonder? I can't understand it. The signs and wonders. You shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. If you touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. God working with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. The problem is, when we don't understand the supernatural, then we don't see signs and we don't see wonders. Which means there is no demonstration. Which means our faith is built upon the wisdom of man and not on the power of God. Which makes a difference in the last days. Because in the last days, especially when persecution comes upon the church, you are not going to be able to rely on your flesh. You're going to need a supernatural boost of God. The Bible declares in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. The word power there means dunamis, supernatural ability. You shall receive dunamis as the Spirit of God comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. The word witness there means martyr. You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, when we understand the supernatural, God gives us the power, that is supernatural endowment, to do God's will, but also so that you will be able to survive when persecution comes in your life. We must understand the supernatural. We participate it with every day. Every day, right now, how many of you are realizing you're participating with something you cannot see, but is more real than what you're sitting on? I'll help you understand that. You ready? It amazes me when we don't understand and people don't even think about it because it's normal. The unseen world is so active. How many of you can hear my voice? Not everybody will have a prayer service after service for miracle ear openings. How many can hear my voice? Do you know how you're hearing my voice? It's called electromagnetic waves. Do you realize that when I speak, these sound waves are being released from my mouth, from my vocal cords, and they're coming out into the atmosphere? You can't see them. But yet you're participating with them, and they're actually opening your opportunity to hear my voice. Electric magnetic waves literally are what we get from our television waves. There are radio waves, microwaves, and so many other types. And listen, they're all waves. The only difference between the waves is the length of the waves, the wavelengths. In every wavelength, there's a necessity to have the correct receiver. You see, I can go over to this. How many of you know the radios are playing right now? Right now, whether you if you turned on your radio, you could play something right now. How many of you know that? How many of you know if you just decided you want to listen to one, in fact, listen now. Our sound system was so bad when we first started this church. We were at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. I would be preaching, and all of a sudden you'd hear the trucker going, breaker 1-9, breaker 1-9. One time I was preaching, and all of a sudden a radio station, Wink 106, came on. And when 106 played the rest of the service, I had to turn the entire sound system off. Well, why? Because there were certain waves that were being sent, and the receiver at the church, you couldn't see the waves. You wouldn't know they were there until, come on now, you tuned into the wave that you wanted to hear. You see, if I go over to this radio and turn it on, was we tuned in our receiver to the right wave. In the spirit realm, it's no different. God is constantly moving. God's spirit is constantly being released. But what's happening is so few of the believers are now in prayer. Come on now. So few believers are actually praying. So few believers are actually reading the word. And to get someone to church now most of the time is like having to get an M80 underneath their buttocks to get out of bed. But what we don't understand is if your receiver is not correct, if your receiver is not in responsive mode, then the sound waves are still happening, but you'll never hear it. You know, it's the same with TV waves. You know, you turn your television on and immediately what you see is you see static. How many of you remember the old days of rabbit ears? You're aging yourself, glory to God. I remember the old days, man. What we used to do is my dad would say, and usually the TV set was this big, right? It was bigger. It was bigger. It took up half your living room. Not as much from the front, but from the back. And I remember my dad saying, hey, I want to watch this show. So go in and I'll tell you where to turn it. So you would have the rabbit ears and you put them on here. And then all of a sudden you'd raise them up. And then you're moving them around to try to bring in, come on now, bring in the right wave. In those days, there was only two channels, channel 38 and channel 56 in Boston. So if it wasn't coming in right, my dad would say this, go get aluminum foil. You know, you kids think aluminum foil is for cooking. No, they created aluminum foil for TV rabbit ears. Some of you still don't know what I'm talking about. So you would take aluminum foil and you'd make your ears, your rabbit ears larger. And then it wouldn't work sometimes. So my dad would say, okay, hold it over there. So I'd have to hold the rabbit ears and move them around. I'm behind the TV. I can't watch the TV anymore, but he can. All because if you did not have those rabbit ears in the right position, the receiver wasn't working to bring the waves in. So all you would get is snow. But man, once you had the receiver hit properly, I can see clearly now Christ has come. You see, this is where the body of Christ has to get down back to believing and understand that the supernatural is natural, that the supernatural is always moving, that the power of God is always active. And the reason that the majority of creatures, the sons and daughters of God, do not hear God's voice, do not see what God is doing, is not because God isn't, but because very few are in the receiving mode. Serving Jesus is not a part-time experience. You see, the Bible says that faith is the receiver that we have to activate heaven.
The problem with that is in our American society, where Christianity has become more of a club than it has actually been who we are as sons and daughters of God living in the supernatural realm of heaven, what's happened is so many believers have such little faith. I've preached this before, how we can know. The Bible says, Jesus said to some, "O ye of little faith." He said to some others, "O ye of great faith." He said to others, the disciples looked at him and said, "Lord, increase our faith." We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But so few believers are actually in the word of God today, building up their most holy faith, praying in the spirit. They're not taking that time to build their faith, so their receiver is low. Man, I want you to know that sometimes when you're in a desperate position with God, you're grabbing your spiritual rabbit ears and you're trying to get any kind of motion you can. You're trying to get any kind of reception that you can because you're desperate for God. And God is saying, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live in a place where you're hoping to hear God's voice. You don't have to live in a position where you got to go through 20 stations to get a clear station. But God is clear. God wants to talk to you. God wants you to understand how the supernatural works so that you and I can live. Yes, we occupy till he comes, but I'm not from this place. This is not my home. I'm not governed by the laws of nature. I'm governed by the laws of the supernatural. You know how what is going on to come through the TV. Listen now. Why is it so important for you to be in the Bible?
Well, I don't understand it usually when I read it.
Well, for goodness sakes, get a different version. We'll help you. We want you to understand the scripture. How many of you, listen now, I'm going to age you again. How many remember the TV guide?
Oh, my goodness.
How many have never heard of a TV guide? Ever heard of it? You ever seen one? Yeah, I saw one. How many of you know I have DirecTV now? I don't need a TV guide. I just hit guide. Man, what's awesome about hitting guide is if I want to watch, what's your favorite TV program? What? Don't say Grey's Anatomy. Hallmark Station, dear God. Emotional roller coaster ride. Dear Jesus, help us all. Somebody else? Gunsmoke. I love Gunsmoke. What's that? What's MCIS? NCIS. Yes, my wife likes that one. The Food Network. Look at it. It's a skinny girl talking about the Food Network. Shooter. VeggieTales. Oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where is my hairbrush? Listen, if I want to watch VeggieTales, I'm going to get on DirecTV, I'm going to hit the guide, and I'm going to do search. And I'm going to find when VeggieTales is playing, and then I'm going to hit record or go straight to that station, which means I've changed the waves to get to that location. The Word of God is our guide. When you want to hear what God has to say for you, to you, when you want to understand how God works in you and through you, there is no other way to do that but to move the receiver into the word of the Lord. You see, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is on the way. But you can't have the answer if you're not on the right wavelength. You can't have the answer if you're not tuned in to the right station. You can't have the wavelength if you don't have faith, for it's impossible to please God. God, for God says that you must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is calling those things which are not, as though they already are. I walk by faith and not by. We've got to start to learn how to walk in the spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. But the way we do that is understanding that the supernatural is always active and God is always moving. God is always moving and shaking, and God's desire is to touch you, to use you, but we will never be used until we tune in. Amen. As a believer, you've got to make this a priority in your life. We are so close to Christ's return, we don't have time to play around anymore. It was very interesting. Last week, I saw a heightened spiritual activity in a weekend. It was amazing to me. I sat back and I said, oh my goodness, I wish I could see in the spirit realm for just a second. I wish I could literally see angels and demons just for 1 second. Listen now, I have friends of mine that do see in that realm, and they ask God to take it away from that realm. Because when you actually see how active it is in the spirit realm, I remember the very first demon I ever experienced. I remember he was leaning over me when I was in bed, and I remember he was pushing down on my chest. I want you to realize it was not a good experience, but I thank God that I have all authority over the power of the devil, and in the name of Jesus, I commanded him to come out of my room. I remember woke up in the middle of the night, looked over, and I saw him standing over in the corner of the doorway. I said, you foul thing, get out of my house. In Jesus' name, you have no place. You see, I understand the wavelength. For that night, I was able to see the wavelength in the spirit realm. I remember the very first time I saw Jesus. I was at our church up in Newfield, and my worship leader at that time was playing guitar, and he was worshiping, and I was sitting on the front row. I was sitting like over on a corner like this, and all of a sudden I looked and I saw Jesus walk right in front of me, right in front of him, and right down the aisle. I watched it, and this guy who was playing guitar looked at me and he said, Did you see that? We both saw Jesus at the exact same time as he walked. His name is Krenach. I forget his first name. Anyways, he walked right down the center. I watched him. I saw Jesus. You see, there is a spirit realm that is more real than the natural realm. And our challenge is that if we're not paying attention, we're not in receive mode, we're not in the position of tuning in, then we're always going to live just in the natural. Well, the problem with that is you're constrained in the natural where you're released in the supernatural. What cannot be done in the natural, God said all things are possible in the supernatural. When you and I are weak in our physical body, he says, I supernaturally will make you strong. When you are sick in your body, he said, I will supernaturally make you healthy. When you are discouraged, I will supernaturally release an encouraging word to your spirit. God supernaturally wants to work in our lives, but so many believers have been disconnected with the supernatural and are living just in the natural world. There's a problem with that. We have weak Christians, weak believers. Not that they don't believe in Jesus, not that they're not going to heaven, but they live horrible lives on this earth. They live substandard from God's kingdom and God's purposes. It always makes it funny to me when somebody says, well, you know, all that church wants is your money. I want to get money to you. Why do I want to get money to you? Because if God can get it through you, God will get it to you. And I've learned how to tap into the supernatural to allow finances to come in my life. I just learned the other day, someone told me that I have $2.4 million in the bank. I asked them for the bank account so I could make a quick withdrawal. But it's amazing how people, they actually believe, because you preach the word of God and God blesses you, that you have unlimited resources. And I've got great news for you. You have unlimited resources. For what is in heaven is God's kids' ability. You see, this is where we have had our minds. The Bible says that our people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't understand the supernatural. Therefore, all we have is the natural. I thank God for doctors, and I'll tell you why. Because without doctors, most Christians would be dead. They've not learned how to tap into the supernatural to acquire the miraculous power of God. We've got to make this bridge. Can I hear an amen? I said, we've got to make this bridge. Can I hear an amen? 2 Kings chapter 6 talks about Elisha and Gehazi. I'm not going to read the portion. We don't have time. If you want to read it on your own, it's 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. It talks about Elisha the prophet. And Elisha the prophet had a servant man with him who was mainly like we would call an armor bearer, like Isaac. And so Isaac comes around and he makes sure that I can just focus on doing the gospel on Sunday morning. And, you know, he helps me look good. And so I don't have snots hanging out of my nose or my shorts aren't tucked in the wrong way. And, you know, he makes sure that if I want a cup of coffee, weren't you supposed to bring me tea? If I wanted a tea, that he'd bring me tea. He just wants to go take a nap. Don't let him lie to you. But he had a servant called Gehazi. Now, the prophet of God was hearing from God. He was tuned in, and he was able to hear the voice of the Lord. And what was happening was the king of Syria hated Jerusalem. They hated the Israelites. So they were constantly planning to do ambushes and attacks to kill as many Jews as possible. And so what would happen is the king of Syria would get his warlords in his bedroom, and they start talking about all the plans and what they were going to do to kill the Israelites. Well, the prophet of God, he was tuned in. I'm talking like he was tuned right in. And as he was tuned in, what would happen was he'd hear spiritually the plans that they were planning from Syria to destroy Israel. So, you know, he would get up and he would go to the king of Israel and say, listen, man, don't go down that road because the Syrians are planning this and this and this. Well, I'm talking like the king of Syria is getting frustrated. He's getting downright angry. And he finally calls all the guys into his place and he says, listen, I want to know which one of you is a traitor in the room who's going and talking about what we're talking about here to the king of Israel. I want to know who you are because you're going to die. Well, there's a little servant girl in the room, and she was an Israelite. And she said, oh, king of Syria, I just want you to know that it's none of your people. It's Elisha, the prophet, who hears from God. And he's telling everybody, he's telling the king of Israel what's happening, what you're whispering about, even in your bedroom. Well, let me tell you, the king of Syria only had one plan left, and that is, let's go kill this guy. So he released his army to go to a city called Dotham. Now, he did it in the nighttime. How many of you know most of the time your troubles come in the nighttime? Can I hear an amen? And all of a sudden now, man, the Syrian army is surrounding Dotham. Now, Gehazi, who is, again, Elisha's servant, comes out to wash his face. He washes his face. He looks up, and he sees the Syrian army surrounding where he's at. And he's starting to freak out. How many of you have had situations in your life you start to freak out a little bit about? Man, trouble that's come your way, that you just look at it as an impossibility. You know if God doesn't show up, you're going to die. I want you to know, that's what Gehazi was feeling. He's looking up there and going, ah! He's freaking out, man. What am I going to do? They're going to come and kill us. That was their whole reason. That's the only reason they were there, to kill all the people, especially Elisha and anybody with him. So Elisha comes out, the Bible says, Elisha comes out of the place, and he, in verse 16, he says, oh, listen now, Gehazi, I know you're freaking out, and I know I can see them too in the natural, but I want you to hear me. There's more for us than against us. What is wrong with you? I'm talking like, did you take some, like, drugs before you went to bed or something, man of God? You know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but listen now, I can see it. I can see their army. I can see them getting ready to pounce upon us and to decapitate us. I can see them ready to shove the sword through us and destroy our natural lives. I can see it. I don't know why you can't see it, but I can see it. And Elisha looked at him and said, listen now, there are more for us than against us. And he started letting them know what he could not see because he wasn't on the wavelength. All of a sudden, he makes a decision. I'm going to help this guy in verse 17. So Elisha prayed. And he said, Father, open his eyes that he may see. And he turned the receiver of Gehazi to where he could now see in the realm that was more real than he was staring at in the first place. And he looked up and he said, there are more for us than against us. And Gehazi saw in the spirit, and he saw the armies of God surrounding the armies of Syria. He saw the greater one standing for them. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on now. God said, if I am for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He can come against you one way, but he's going to have to flee seven ways. Listen, to some of you, those are just verses. But when your eyes are open, you see how real they really are. Now, all of a sudden, we see Gehazi actually able to see what Elisha the prophet saw, both normal men, but one was tuned into the supernatural and one was tuned into the natural. Don't you see this? Gehazi did not see the supernatural
did not see the armies of God until Elisha prayed that his spiritual eyes would be open. When his eyes were open, he saw it. Watch. It doesn't change the fact that they were already still there. They were already there. They were already surrounding the Syrian army. They were all ready to destroy the Syrian army. So what was the difference? One was tuned and one was not. So one had faith and one fainted. Many of us are in a position where God is saying, there's more for you than against you. I've sent my word to heal you. I've delivered you from all demonic oppression. I've set you free and free indeed. Therefore, no addictions have a right to be in your life. God just prophesies and declares in his word the promises that are yea and amen. But some can see them and some cannot, because some have faith to open the frequency and some do not. Some just stare at what is naturally in front of them. And God wants to make a transition in your life. So many of us have been governed by this world. Listen, there is no greater tormentor than walking by sight. There is no worse controller than walking by your experiences, than walking by your circumstances, than walking by what people do to you or say to you. Listen now, you've got to make a decision in your spirit. Listen, I'm going to make a decision in my spirit. I'm going to spend time in his word. I'm going to get the TV guide. Come on now. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to open my ears that I might hear. Let he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, because the Spirit is speaking to the church. Who's the church? You're the church. God, what do you want to say to me? God, how do you want to direct me? He might direct you through the TV guide. He might direct you through the prophecy and then through the preaching of God's word. He might direct you by somebody encouraging you. He might direct you by a nudge. But I want you to know something. God is speaking to you. God wants to direct you. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. But God cannot order your steps if you're not in the right frequency. If you're not praying, you're not spending time with God, you're not in his word, all you can hear is static. Can you do that one more time, team? All you can hear is static. You know, I'm walking by faith. Amen. Play the electric bill. You got it? What frequency are you on? See, when you understand your frequency, faith, then there's nothing God can't do in your life. You are unstoppable, the supernatural church. Or you are stoppable, the natural church. Nobody makes that decision but you. Well, I don't have time. Baby, you don't have time not to be in the Word. I was up this morning at 2:30 a.m. 2:30 a.m. I woke up and I leaned over. My wife had sent me a preaching message from Brother Ted Shuttlesworth that touched her heart. At 2:30 in the morning, I hit the YouTube and laid there for, I don't know, 45 minutes and finally fell asleep. Getting the word in my spirit. It's not abnormal for me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I reach over and grab the Bible app.
and put on reading of the Bible. And I'll lay there for an hour to an hour and 15 minutes before I get out of bed to go up to my prayer room. And I'll just listen to the word. Sometimes I'm dozing in, sometimes I'm dozing out. But my spirit man never sleeps. And my spirit is feeding, it's feeding, it's feeding. And faith is growing and growing and growing. And I know what God wants to say. Man, sometimes I just, when I get up in the morning and I've been listening to the word like that, something's going to jump at me. And as it jumps at me, I'm eating on that word all day long. It might be just one verse, but it's a rhema word and not a logos word. Because he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Tune into the frequency of heaven and you will start moving in the supernatural. This is not for preachers. This is for believers. And if you're a believer, say amen.
Amen.
Next week, I'm going to say one more time. Next week, I'm preaching on the difference between a supernatural church and a natural church. You don't want to miss it. Because you and I are the church. Who you choose to be is the life you will live. Natural or supernatural. I don't know, I'm one of those kind of guys that just can't do it halfway. Did you get me some? You're so good to me. Can you give this young man a hand clap? Tastes so good. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. I'm getting ready to help some of you step into the supernatural. How is that? Well, if you're not born again, you are still supernatural, but the Bible says you're blind. What do you mean I'm blind? I can see. Oh, no, 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 no. If you don't know Christ, you're blind. You are in darkness and not in light. You are lost in a sea of sin. And the only way out is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, the moment you accept Jesus, you go from darkness to light, from death to life. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you, and now your adventure begins. Now you can step into your call and purpose in life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know Christ Jesus, and we're going to build you here as much as we can so that you'll be a powerful man and woman of God. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you want Him in your life. You want your sins forgiven. You want to step into the life of the supernatural, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. His name is Jesus. Is there anyone in the room this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on. You feel the Holy Ghost drawing you. 3, last call. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. 2, that's all right. Let the little children lead them. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. The Bible says, where two touch one thing, it shall be done. You see, one shall put 1,000 to flight, but 2 shall put 10,000. Which means this, if you need prayer for something, I want you to know that when you come and pray at this altar, this is not a nice little thing that we do. This is God releasing His power in your life to change your life. Literally, things shift eternally when you pray. Amen? If you raise your hand for salvation, it's a little baby girl. We're going to have mom and dad bring her up so you can pray with her. Amen. And if you did not raise your hand, but you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, I want you to meet me right up here right now. Everybody else, I love you. We release a blessing to you. Run hard in Christ. Live the supernatural. Get into the Word. Get into prayer. And lead someone to Jesus this week. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. I can see clear.